WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Virginia's finance secretary says unemployment is high, but the state may be turning a corner. One summer program in the Valley aims to help small businesses navigate the new pandemic normal and what comes afterward. Meanwhile, medical centers try to map a path to survival through this crisis. In the second part of a report on hospitals and COVID-19 in Virginia. This is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, May 19th. Courts across Virginia resume non-emergency hearings this week, including more than 800 eviction cases. In his press briefing on Monday, Governor Ralph Northam outlined measures in place to protect those who are at risk of losing their homes. One tool would give landlords with state-backed loans a 90-day mortgage deferral if they pass that relief down to their tenants. And a new law that went into effect last month allows renters to request a 60-day grace period to catch up on missed rent before facing eviction proceedings. To qualify, Virginians have to show a loss of income resulting from COVID-19. Meanwhile, federal money aims to help Virginians in need of housing. 20 housing authorities in Virginia will get nearly $3 million in federal funding to expand the Housing Choice Voucher Program. The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, or HUD, announced this fourth wave of funding on Monday. It's part of the Federal CARES Act. Harrisonburg's Redevelopment and Housing Authority will get more than $134,000 to provide more housing vouchers to non-elderly people with disabilities. The Albemarle Office of Housing will receive nearly $37,000. Northam also said he is relaxing restrictions on beachgoers in Virginia Beach ahead of Memorial Day weekend. Northam said that beginning this Friday, he will allow the beaches to open under modified conditions that will allow sunbathing and surfing starting on Friday. Northam said there will still be a ban on group sports, the use of alcohol, electronic speakers, and tents. And beach parking will be capped at 50% capacity, the governor said. He joins several other East Coast governors who are moving to open beaches in some form ahead of the holiday weekend. Memorial Day is May 25th. Warm weather drew crowds of people to the shore last weekend, despite the beach closure. Well, Congress is considering a bill that will spend billions of dollars to help set up a system of contact tracing. One representative from the Commonwealth is supporting that bill in the House, Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Congressman Don Beyer is co-sponsor of the TRACE Act, which would provide $100 billion in federal funds to go to clinics, medical centers, and faith-based organizations to help them perform contact tracing. Now, the bill has the unfortunate tag of H.R. 6666, and the internet is full of conspiracy theories about it. Adrian Casolotti at the National Association of County and City Health Officials says that's just the fear of the unknown.
So it makes sense that people are concerned about things that are new and different because we haven't had to do contact tracing in this level. But no one is talking about forcibly removing anyone from their home or doing any of these things. We're talking about how do you support people so that they can keep going on with their lives and protect them and their loved ones from getting sick.
Jay Stanley at the ACLU says contact tracing will never have perfect protection of privacy, but he says there's no reason it can't be done in a way that protects privacy.
That's not just a side thing, but protecting privacy is actually a crucial part of contact tracing, because if people don't have faith that their privacy will be protected, it reduces the effectiveness of contact tracing because people lie.
Contact tracing isn't just about protecting health. It's also a potential job for people who are out of work. The Virginia Department of Health is looking to hire 1,300 people to trace coronavirus cases. I'm Michael Pope.
More than 600,000 Virginians have filed for unemployment since mid-March, but Secretary of Finance Aubrey Lane told lawmakers on Monday that things might be slowly turning a corner. From partner station VPM, Ben Pavier reports.
Lane estimates Virginia's unemployment rate is around 10%. While that's a recent high, it's still around 5 points better than the national level. Lane told the House Appropriations Committee that Virginia is helped by our large federal workforce. The shipbuilding and tech industries have also continued working during the pandemic.
And hopefully that will be a good base for us to build on as we help some of these other industries open up over the next few months.
Virginians are also still spending money. State sales tax collections last month were down only about 0.5%, helped by sales of food and booze. Still, the pandemic is hurting the state's bottom line, with around $1 billion budget shortfall expected by the end of June.
That's Ben Pavier with VPM News reporting. Well, meanwhile, one group in the Shenandoah Valley is trying to help. The Stanton Creative Community Fund is facilitating a virtual rebuild and recovery program for small business owners in the Valley who have been negatively affected by COVID-19. The fund's executive director, Debbie Irwin, says the program called Shenandoah Valley Rebuild aims to help businesses pivot during the economic downturn and plan beyond just the next few months.
A lot of times these businesses have tweaked their business model for just the immediate time frame, but what we really want to help them do is start to think about business model innovation. How can they change their business for the new world that we'll be experiencing over the next couple of months to couple of years?
Participants will work together in a virtual setting through 10 weekly 2.5-hour sessions beginning June 1st. They'll tackle challenges such as new rules governing businesses during the pandemic and how to adjust marketing strategies to the new normal, and they'll have an opportunity to connect with business peers and mentors.
Shenandoah Valley Rebuild is all about helping our Shenandoah Valley continue to be the economic vibrant community that it is and continue to support businesses in the best way that we can.
Irwin says small business owners who have trouble paying the registration fee can apply for a scholarship that will take care of most of the cost by emailing hello@stantonfund.org. Now you can learn more about the summer program and scholarship information at WMRA.org or on the app. Today is Election Day in many places across Virginia, including in Waynesboro and Farmville. As Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports, it will be an election unlike any other.
More than 60 local elections are happening across Virginia, everywhere from Salem and Danville to Bristol and Vienna. Perhaps the most significant change this year is the dramatic increase in mail-in ballots. Fairfax City Registrar Barbara Cabrera says the last election for city council had about 40 mail-in absentee ballots. This year, it's more than 2,000.
So I don't even know how many times that is. That's a lot. A lot different. So it's a whole different election, a whole different by mail election. We really don't expect that many people at the precincts.
For those voters willing to brave the inside of a polling precinct, they'll find a host of new protective measures. Galax Registrar Stacy Rivas says election workers there are using clear plastic shower curtains as a buffer, and photo IDs will be placed on legal pads instead of handed back and forth.
It'll be a little bit hard to have a 6-foot distance at that particular table, so we're going to have that screen there as a little bit of a barrier, but we can still see and hear everything that we need to hear, and with that little open area underneath, we can still slide that photo ID on that paper pad back and forth.
For those absentee ballots to count, election officials will need to receive them by 7 p.m. on Election Day when polls close. Now, that could mean voters drop them off in person at a polling place or at the registrar's office. I'm Michael Pope.
Well, Virginia officials have canceled the annual Chincoteague Island Pony Swim for the first time since World War II. On Monday, the Chincoteague Volunteer Fire Company said its carnival and pony penning celebration scheduled for July 2nd are canceled for this year due to the pandemic. The pony swim moves the horses from Assateague Island to Chincoteague Island so that the foals can be auctioned. That auction helps to control the size of the herd, and it's also a fundraiser for the Volunteer Fire Company. This year, the foals will be sold through an online auction. This summer would have marked the 95th year of the event. Finally today, confronting the COVID-19 crisis meant big changes for Virginia hospitals, new expenses, cancellation of elective procedures and tests. Well, now those medical centers are trying to recover even as they prepare for the future. Virginia Public Radio's Sandy Hausman reports on their path to financial health.
Hospitals around the state are in line to get federal stimulus money, but administrators say it will be months before they're seeing the number of paying patients they had before the pandemic. And Julian Walker, who speaks for the Virginia Hospital and Healthcare Association, says they're looking at a very big budget shortfall.
Our members lost revenue in excess of $600 million over a one-month period spanning late March through late April. They were also investing more in supplies and equipment and adequate staffing to ensure that there were the necessary resources in place to respond to this pandemic.
At the same time, they're obliged to pay about 10% of the cost for Virginia to expand Medicaid, a deal they cut with Richmond 2 years ago. So hospitals are reaching out through social and traditional media to tell the public it's safe to come back. Dr. Mike Nussbaum, chief of surgery at Carilion Clinic, says his team is on the phones, booking appointments for those who were turned away when the pandemic hit.
The leaders of all of our different specialty sections are going through those lists along with each of the providers, identifying which patients really need to be addressed first.
And they're now prepared should the state see a spike in the number of COVID cases. They've built partnerships with public health experts in state and local government, according to UVA's Dr. Tracy Hoke.
Lots of relationships have been built across the state as we've all tried to pitch in and help each other figure out who's going to serve what role.
And they're working closely with academic experts on infectious disease, vaccines, and biomedical engineering.
We've had a great collaboration with our engineering school that has built everything from testing cubicles for us to 3D printing masks to actually generating the swabs that you need for these tests, which are apparently very tricky to do. And we're in the middle of a completion of an FDA trial to have approval to use those swabs.
There's also been greater collaboration with other hospitals.
Right now, 75% of the patients in our ICU are transfers.
Hospitals have a new commitment to planning and practice, something VCU's CEO, Dr. Ron Clark, credits for a smooth transition to pandemic care.
One or two times a year, we would drill for what are called mass casualty incidents, where you have to take in 100 or more patients at a moment's notice. So we have a command center that we stand up during those drills, and that preparation served us very well.
The hospital was already in the habit of getting its people together to brainstorm, so when the pandemic arrived, it was natural to collaborate and make things happen far faster than what Clark thought possible.
We were able to stand up clinical trials in a matter of days instead of weeks. We converted a student dorm into a hospital within a matter of days, and then flipping from 4,000 face-to-face visits to having 40% of that volume convert to telehealth just pretty much overnight.
And at the Carilion Clinic, Dr. Michael Nussbaum says planning continues.
Coronavirus isn't going to disappear, you know, like the flu. I mean, we have an influenza vaccine, but there are years that we have a surge of influenza cases. So even after there's a vaccine available, we would still anticipate this would be one of the 200 or so viruses in circulation that will be out there.
In the future, he adds, what hospitals have learned from COVID-19 will make them better at fighting many diseases, new and old. I'm Sandy Houseman.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. Stay safely connected and enjoy your Tuesday.